New Thought Media Network. We are a global broadcast network of positive music, media, and entertainment. Inspiring humanity's evolution along the journey of enlightenment and creating a world of love, peace, empowerment, and prosperity for all. New Thought Media Network. Positively inspiring.
Welcome to Ministers Talking Sh**, a weekly program where Rev Briz and Rev Z and their guests chat about current affairs, world events, spiritual principles, and any old sh** they want to talk about. Based on the New Thought philosophy and ancient wisdoms, Ministers Talking Sh** shares a visionary perspective of the evolving spiral called spiritual living. Join us each week as we explore the emerging paradigm of life on planet Earth and beyond.
And hello again, dear ones. Rev Briz with you over here.
Rev Z right here.
And this is Ministers Talking Shit for Friday morning. We're so grateful you're with us. It's the Ides of March. It's now the traditional snowstorm in Colorado. And boy, did we get a big one. And Z and I realized in our pregame show, in our setup, that we got a lot we could talk about today. We're going to see what we get to. But first up, dear brother Z is in his part of his yearly, I want to call it a pilgrimage, but I know that's different. So it's yes. Not your pilgrimage, but you're in your annual Ramadan experience and honoring and sacred experience. And tell us a little bit more about how you celebrate Ramadan every year.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a glorious time. You know, it's the Islamic fast for 29 and 30 days, depending on the sighting of the moon. Islam, like a few other systems, are a lunar calendar base, and you wake up before the sunrise and eat, and then you eat after the sun goes down. So that right now that it's about 12 hours of no eating, no drinking, kind of no outside frivolous kinds of things. You just kind of focus on your spiritual well-being. And during that time, you read the whole Quran. Each day you read 1/30th of the Quran, so that by the end you've read the whole Quran. And you gather for group prayers, and it's a really good time. You know, one thing you find out about when you fast is how much frivolous stuff you do when you have to cut it out. You're like, God, I spent all that time doing that. And after you get through the first shocks in the body and everything, your focus and your clarity and your insights just begin to skyrocket, because your body is not being, your body's energy rather is not being siphoned by a bunch of other stuff. So it's a great time. I'm in today's day five, and you know, my body is just about saying, "What is he doing?" And so now I'm just about, I think over the weekend, and it happened right when the time changed. So that really kind of threw the monkey wrench in. But all is well, and looking forward to the rest of the month.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you. And you are. You know, I often reflect that New Thought, we like to appropriate and incorporate other spiritual traditions, but that's one that we don't go anywhere near. like, what? No eating for 12 hours? Nah, for 30 days? Nah, we're not going to do that. So, thank you for your inspiration. Thank you for your commitment.
And the other part, the eating part. Some people might say, oh, yeah, I can do that. But there's also no drinking at the same time. But there's no eating or drinking.
Right. And if I couldn't have my tea throughout the day, it'd be an interesting experience. Yes. So, again, thank you for your commitment to your spiritual practice. Speaking of spiritual practices, I don't know if this is a practice or not, but sometimes all the good news happens right after we go off the air on Friday mornings, and last week was no exception. because shortly after we ended our broadcast, State Representative Ken Buck from Colorado's 4th District announced that he is resigning. And resigning as effective next Friday. So we gave it 2 weeks. Today's the 1 week, next Friday. And you may recognize, we talk a bit about politics here on this program, and especially living here in Colorado, we get the added, well, you know, it's not even like it's local news anymore. Lauren Boebert opens her mouth and it's national news immediately. She's been trying to keep her mouth shut a little bit. However, because Lauren has abandoned the 3rd district and is running for election in the 4th district, Buck's resignation leaves a hole where Colorado, by state law, is required to hold a special election, and it's got to be within 90 days. Just so happens that would put us near the end of June, and that just so happens that's when the Republican primary is scheduled. So our Democratic governor decided, let's save some money, and rather than have 2 elections on different days, we'd have 2 elections on the same day. Well, this sent Lauren down the rabbit hole of conspiracy. I didn't know. I learned something last night. The far right considers the Republicans and the Democrats to be so much the same that they call them the Uniparty. Now, we've all probably heard the phrase, you know, the right wing and the left wing are both on the same duck, are both part of this. So they're saying, it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. If you're mainstream Republican or Democrat, you're all the same and you're all part of the problem and you're part of the Uniparty. So the Uniparty, Ken Buck representing the Republicans and Jared Polis here representing the Democrats, kind of got together and figured out how they could best screw over Lauren Boebert. I'm not sure, but I rarely make heads or tails when that woman speaks. But end result, there's going to be a Republican primary and a Republican special election on June 25th. Someone will be elected to finish the term for Ken, and therefore be running as the incumbent in November, and perhaps the same person or someone else will win the primary and be the primary. It's still a little muddy as to what happens, but regardless, it looks like we're in for an interesting election cycle in Colorado's 3rd district. You and I both live in, I don't know if we're in the 1st or the 2nd. I know we're not in the 4th, so.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting, right, as we talk about elections, right, because today, this weekend, if you will, Russia has his re-election and Putin is up for re-election. I don't know if he's running unopposed or not, but I was looking at it just a little bit, and he has the ability to be in office until 2036, because he in 2021 he did some kind of bill or what, I don't know what they call them over there, but he's got it set up now that he can run for more than 2 terms, and he wind up being president until 2036 if he lives that long and keeps getting elected. I don't think the election part will be the problem. It'll just be is he still hanging in?
Is he, you know, still?
and this happens as the Democrats and the Republicans here have decided on who they're running for the office, and so we're back again to 2016 where we got Biden and Trump, his name was about to escape me, running again. And so we'll see how that goes. I mean, the whole election thing, you know, with Buck and Boebert and Trump and Biden, and it's comical, right? Just like it's like a soap opera in broad daylight.
Yes. And that's what Ken Buck is saying. In his statements last week, he was very clear. He indicated he wanted to get back into influencing the conversation, basically. Mm-hmm. Sounded more like mm-hmm. he's gonna, you know, be part of a think tank or something. And that he was disgusted by the personal politics that happen, the cult of personality that's happening in Washington, and that he gave an example that he's the third ranking member on a committee that was having a hearing last week, and they had heard from 50 different people, but they hadn't heard from him.
Mm.
And part of that is because the people running the committee are far right and they don't like him. And the commentator had said, well, that could be personal. And he said, that's the problem. It was, we're playing personality politics
right,
rather than doing the work of the people that elected us to go to Washington and represent them. Now, Colorado's third district is a longtime conservative district. I don't think it's voted blue ever in history, in modern history. It's a red district. Democrats don't do well there, but that's okay. That's what he was elected to do, and he feels he can't do that.
Right. Well, you know, one thing I mentioned earlier about the AIDS thing, you know, as my numbers increase, I'll put it that way. You know, I know there are definitely certain things I cannot do or cannot do as well as I did when my numbers were less. But, you know, that whole phenomenon is taking place around the globe, right? You made mention earlier about the Pope Francis, I think, making a statement that he's not going to step down because of his age and health, that he's going to hang in. And then on Monday, he made a statement saying that Ukraine should just wave the white flag. I mean, to Russia, I'm like, you know, I don't know what to say, actually. I'm sitting here speechless now, stammering, because it's like, you know, when you become, from what I understood, when you become a servant of the people, that's what you do. You serve the people, you listen to the people, and you operate accordingly. But it seems like, you know, across all bounds, that's not taking place. People are getting comfortable in these positions of power, of money, of prestige, and they are holding on for dear life.
Yeah. I hadn't heard that about the Pope saying the Ukraine should, because that's just like, wait, whoa. When did Jesus ever roll over and wave the white flag? I'm reading a book right now. We're going to take a little detour here, folks. I'm reading a book right now called Weird Church.
Mm.
And written by a couple of, written by a couple of Christians who are talking a lot about how, it's interesting because I keep underlining the new thought parts. They're really telling us to start that the true Christianity is more aligned with what we teach in New Thought than current modern Christian churches are teaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't imagine anywhere in the Christian teaching it says we roll over, that we wave the white flag, that we give up, that we bow down to the oppressors.
Yeah. Well, in my mind, that's the thing of most faith traditions, right? At least I'll just say, at least for the monotheistic faith, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all three of them have an element of protecting and helping and standing up for the oppressed.
Right.
Now, whether you follow one of those traditions or not, whether you believe it's history or fiction or whatever, however you interpret those stories and ideologies and philosophy, the fact still remains that they were there in place in addition to recognizing a creative source that is more powerful than anything that we can do. They were for the oppressed. And that moment was about the leading powers, the leadership, oppressing those people who did not agree with the way they were leading, with the oppression that they were doing, and all of the inflations and all of the things that we see today, was the impetus, if you will, for all of those traditions to help the people who were stuck in the middle getting pushed.
Right. You know, we didn't intend to go here, but
it's always the case, right?
Feels like we need a ceasefire now. That's another story. We're going to talk a little bit about Gaza and Israel in a moment, but we need a ceasefire now. But I also think we need a new pope, and I'm not Catholic, so I don't know if I actually get a voice in this argument or not. But let's take it. Beyond the religious trappings, we got another octogenarian old white guy that says, nah, I'm going to stick it out until the end, and would appear is going against the known doctrine of their organization, right? If Joe Biden came out and said, build the wall, we'd all wonder what was going on. If Donald Trump came out and said, feed the poor, we'd all wonder what was going on. And the Pope can come out and say, just roll over and wave the and let the dictator take over.
That's where we are.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm starting to believe in something being in retrograde, dude. I mean, you know how I don't agree with that, but something's got to be in retrograde if this is the state of the world of politics and religion. Well, then again, perhaps we're just seeing the fall of it all, and we're about to witness the crumbling of it.
Yeah. Well, that headline, the fall of it all, if you will, has been used over the centuries when times get dire. And right now we're in dire times. I'm surprised we're not hearing more end of time stories right now. I mean, with the elections and weather. I mean, you know, just look at the extreme weather we had here over the last 2.5 days, almost 3 days. You know, some people here in Colorado got 45 plus inches of snow. I got close to 2 feet. I think you probably got close to 2 feet. You know, then and they had tornadoes in Ohio and Kansas and Indiana. I mean, you know, one of the things I think in most traditions is about paying attention to the signs around you. And so we got all kinds of signs in politics, in weather, in economics. You know, the price index went up 3.2%. I heard something really crazy that ground beef was up 21% at the grocery stores. I'm like, I don't know. I don't buy that much ground beef, but I know I wouldn't definitely be buying that much ground beef if it went up 21%.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't eat much of it either. And so I don't keep track of how much. But wow,
money changes, right?
It's changing, yeah. You know, it's interesting. This storm here in Colorado, I don't know. I saw one article. Turns out there was a big storm on March 13th and 14th in 2019. I actually remember that storm because I was out driving for Uber and wrecked a car that day.
I was driving for Lyft.
And I got onto a patch of ice with just enough hill and just enough speed that there was no way I could stop for the pickup truck that was sitting at the stop sign and didn't see me coming. Like, go, if you move, I'll be fine. I'll just slide through the intersection. No, it didn't happen. So then there was another storm that was a record breaker on March 13th and 14th in 2021. And they're now March 13th and 14th, of 2021. They're now saying that this storm has broken that record, and this storm is March 14th and 15th. But actually kind of started on the 13th. So somebody's decided we've made a tradition of this. This is now, you know, our thing, and Colorado had. But the point I'm getting to is that regardless of dates, regardless of time, we are seeing a cycle where every 2 to 3 years we have a major record-setting snowstorm here in Denver, and to me it feels like it snows less than it did.
Yeah.
When I first got here in 08 and 09, it seems like it snowed more often, and there was a consistency of snow in the Denver area, and now it feels like we get a couple of little storms every year and that's it. And now here we are with a really big one again. So no question, I think climate is changing. I trust it's not headed toward a polar shift, or a polar flip, but we are changing. And we like to stick our head in the sand and say, no, it's not.
Right.
No, it's not.
Well, and you know, an interesting thing, when we do this show, it just keeps reminding me how everything is connected. We talk about the oneness and unity, but we begin to see how everything affects everything, right? So as part of the storm here in Colorado, I think there were 1,000 flights that got canceled, right?
Sure.
And we still have in the news now, Boeing, right? These aircraft, there was one where 50 people got hurt, and then, you know, you got all the other ones, the wheel fell off, and then the door blew open. And, you know, in the last few weeks, you have all these stories from different airlines, mind you, this is not just one airline, where they've had issues. I don't think any of them were deadly, but there were some that got injured. I mean, and I'm talking there's been at least 4 or 5 with Boeing aircraft. Now, you know, some of the people may have been happy that I'm sure they weren't happy because of spring break that those planes got canceled. But I mean, think about it. You know, imagine you're on a plane taking off and the wheel falls off to land. Now, it's better to fall off on the way up than on the way down, I guess. Because now you can make compensation coming back down because you know it's not there. But my goodness, what's going on?
It's I would imagine Boeing was happy for a day off. there's a couple dozen planes we don't have to worry about falling apart today. I can only imagine how they're scrambling at Boeing right now. And to me, this draws back to, you know, one of the things we say all the time, the systemic failures that are happening in society and the need for systemic change. Mm-hmm. Was it John Oliver that did a story on Boeing recently, or it might have been John Oliver. And, you know, he traced back where it all changed. And it all changed with a certain level of a certain experience in leadership that changed the culture, and everything went in a different direction. And now we're seeing the results of those changes. We're seeing the results of that philosophical change, that change in culture. I think that in many ways, I think we're going through that now in American politics. And we're seeing that culture change in other aspects as well. story we've been following for quite a while now is the Crumley story. If you remember, this is the young man, 15, who had a Sig Hauer 9mm. There were all kinds of warning signs at school, but ended up killing four in his school anyway. His mother was convicted of involuntary manslaughter, four different counts, last month. We reported on that here on this program. And just yesterday, the father, James Crumley, was also convicted, found guilty of four counts of involuntary manslaughter as well. So, you know, here, this is that, it's kind of a bittersweet ending to a story, excuse me, because now they're all in jail. Right. Mother, the father, and the kid's in jail for life, has been sentenced to life at age 15.
And
all because of guns.
Yeah, and I just found this out this morning, that they are now conversations about the school, right? Because it's been reported and that moments or hours before the shooting took place, the student was in a counselor's, in an office with a counselor, and the counselor picked up his bag, and the bag was very heavy, and they say he had no probable cause, but that was the gun in the backpack that he eventually took to take the lives of those students.
So searching for bullets on Google while in school is not probable cause. Drawing pictures of guns and death and threats in your note. I'm pretty sure they knew this stuff when he was in that counseling. I got to go back and reread the timeline. But so I hear where you're going. Is this school criminally negligent? Is that counselor just as guilty as the parents? Maybe not to the same degree, but is there a criminal charge there? Is there involuntary manslaughter there too?
And here is the challenge that I just hate, right? I don't send my kids to school, or let me rephrase that. I don't expect the teachers and the counselor and the cafeteria workers to be thoroughly versed in legal matters or probable cause. I expect them to know how to teach my kid or my grandkids or whatever the deal might be,
right?
The skills and the language and whatever to be successful in life. The moment I take them out of that as being the primary role, now they got to be observer, they got to be police, they got to be intuitive interpreter. Now, yep. You've taken away the responsibility and the energy for them to do what they're there to do, is teach the children. So again, here is the challenge that we have to begin to address systemically. How do we deal with this, right? You know, and if it means, you know, people get upset, but if we have to scan your bag every time you come into this school, that's a little intrusive, yes, but it's not as intrusive if you come in here with a gun and shooting up everybody.
Right. Yes, exactly. I was going to say, not as intrusive as a bullet to the body. So you bring forward a really good point, because I also reflect on, there's been metal detectors in countless inner city school. I mean, if you're Black, it's no big deal to have a metal detector at your school, right? If you're white, it's a big deal. There is, to me, I think, though, I want to point towards the good here. I want to point towards the fact that this is truly allowing us to have a much, much bigger conversation around guns.
Yeah.
And who is, and are we really responsible, and why are we not held responsible for our children's actions? Now, this isn't about a guy who's 35 and disgruntled at the government and takes it out on a school. this is a kid that was part of a community that obviously didn't feel like they belonged in that community. And there's a whole sermon on that right there, how we create more belonging in our schools, because
in our world
and so it goes so much more than this one goes further than just we'll keep better control out of your guns or teach your kids a bit better. There were systemic failures in every nook and cranny of this story that we look at. And I get it. That counselor, that teacher probably isn't paid enough to understand the nuances of the law, probably isn't paid enough to root out guns from a backpack. And so let's pay our teachers more, just as a base. Let's start paying teachers more. Let's start having more people available to support our kids at a time when they are most vulnerable. Those middle school years suck. And we need better mental care. We need so much more for our kids in this regard. I am happy to see this ruling, because I think it means that the conversation is shifting. We're starting to look at these problems from a different lens.
There's so many things that we want to talk about this morning. And I'm just thinking, as we talk about schools, right? There was a measles outbreak in Chicago that they said started at a migrant shelter. I think that's what they call it. But we are exposing our young people because we can't get our stuff together as adults to all manner of harm when they're at their most vulnerable, at their most expansive in terms of what they're taking in. And if we continue as adults to model this kind of behavior of not knowing how to talk and come to conclusions and make allowances and make things work, and if we're not able to resolve issues and talk like we have sense, the children are going to do the exact same thing. And when they get to the point and they don't know how to resolve their issues, whether they're internal or external, then they will result in these school shootings that we see and in these random acts of violence against one another that are just appalling and heart-wrenching. And we as adults have to do a better job. We talk about it all the time. We have to do a better job of modeling behavior that is indicative of what we say we want, we believe, and that we're teaching. And I'm not sure we're consistent in all of that.
Right. I'm pretty sure we're not consistent in all of that. I'm going to try not to make that a blanket statement, right? I know there are people and there are places but I know you, I know myself, I know others in our movement that have are adamant about how we talk to our kids and how we model for our kids. And they see there are so many inputs and so many influences, and they just see it everywhere. And I mean, I hate to think of what would have, how my kids would have experienced life if I didn't let them have the experience of video games. Because they are everywhere. Adults play, everybody play, you know, we're in our kind of what? Our second, maybe third generation of people that have been brought up with video games in their lives. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to think of how my kids' lives would be different if I just said no from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you open the door to video games, you open the door to first-person shooter games. And in today's world, first-person shooter games with VR headsets and internet connections take on a whole different experience. And, we're training our kids in so many different ways, either consciously or unconsciously. Yeah. And as much as I don't like first-person shooter games, I also don't have the power to eliminate them from the consciousness of the youth.
No.
I can try to limit it. I can try to temper it. I can try to demonstrate and teach how detrimental these things are. But at the end of the day, these kids have their own lives. They're going to make their own decisions.
And here's the interesting thing that you brought up, right? So we look at these VR reality things now, and they're becoming more and more popular. And just in the last couple of days, I saw two commercials, one where they're using VR to train nurses and nurse practitioners and, people in the medical profession on how to do certain things using VR, right? They can get it down to like it's real, right? And then I saw another one where they were doing the same thing with welders. They were training kids to be welders, and this can be, depending on what they're welding, that could be pretty bad, or dangerous rather, not bad. but just look at how the technology can be used to promote young people into meaningful, mind-expanding, life-changing things for a more unified approach to life. And then you have it where it's used as a more detrimental approach to life. And we know that these companies, the books are open on how these commercials are made, how they're used to supplant ideas and things in people's mind, not just kids, but adults, everybody. And so there's got to be, and especially now with all of the technology, they can do it even more when they put sound, music, sight. I mean, it really starts exciting the brain. And we know this, right? So why can't we do more to do the, at least do an effective counterpunch to that, or counter it altogether, right?
Okay, you can have your shooter game, but not until after you finish your welding game.
Exactly. Exactly.
You get an hour of welding and you can have an hour of shooters, I guess.
Yes. I'll take it. Because hopefully they'll get so engrossed in the welding or the taking care of the patient that they'll forget about the hour of the other thing. Man, this is exciting. And now we're down a whole new track.
I hadn't thought of using VR to train nurses and doctors. I mean, it makes sense. We don't have to kill and cut up as many frogs. We don't have to use cadavers. We could just train through VR. I don't know that I would want to, where'd you go to school, doctor? I went to the Facebook VR School of Medicine. Oh, really? It might not be a good selling point for the doctors, but,
put it this way. They can start with the VR and then eventually they'll have to move to cadavers. But we can save a bunch of cadavers, if you will, before they start doing those kinds of classroom experiments.
Exactly. All right, there we are, VR cadavers. I think we've found our niche for the day, folks. So we want to thank you for being with us here on the New Thought Media Network. We always have a good time. We don't pretend to solve or have the answer that solves any of these issues. And we do love to have a little bit of fun and some jokes as we go along. So ultimately, I think, to me, and we'll give it Z here a chance for some final thoughts as well. We live in a unique world. We live in a unique time. We live in a time that is unprecedented. We've never had in modern day the same confluence of political distrust, separation, and upheaval. We've never had the same experiences and the same access to information and disinformation. Back to our TikTok story. It's one of the things they're claiming is TikTok just loaded with disinformation, and we got to have our disinformation out there instead of yours. And we're in, and I have to believe when you make soup, if things don't boil, things don't break down. And if they don't break down, they don't release their full flavor, and they don't mingle with the other flavors to bring forward why soup is so good, why stew is so good. We're in that meltdown phase, I think, in a lot of ways as a society. And we have to keep our eyes on the fact that we're creating something new and different. We're not going back to the same old pot of cold water and hard vegetables.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd say, you know, one thing I love about our show here is that we get a chance to highlight in a short format all of the various things that are vying for our attention and need our attention. I mean, like, we didn't even talk about the SpaceX launch. We didn't even talk about X, formerly known as Twitter, hiring Don Lemon, and he does one show and he gets canceled. We didn't even talk about the Alabama cyber attack on governmental offices to do disruption, right? Yep. And so, and what we have talked about included just a handful of the many, many issues that we need to be get involved with. Now, you can't get involved in all of them. We understand that. But we do have the ability to find the 1, 2, 3, whatever your capacity is, to get more information, to share information, not in a dictatorial way, but in a way to awaken us, to create it, as you were saying earlier, Bridge, this sense of belonging, this sense of taking care of my brothers and sisters, and how do we make life better for everybody? We know there's going to be issues. I mean, none of us could have controlled this snow. We couldn't have stopped this snow, but we could band together and figure out, which is like we've seen a lot of, how to shovel somebody out. You know, you got 3 feet of snow, 2 feet of snow, you might need a little help, depending on who you are. And that's what we want to promote here. Break up, you know, make you aware of the issues, talk about belonging, creating, how do we solve together? And then let's get about the business of doing it.
Yes. Here we are. Let's get about the business of creating a world that works for all.
Yes.
Yep. All right, folks, we're going to get out of here, let you get into the rest of your day. Thanks for being a part of what we're doing here on the New Thought Media Network. If you're a financially contributing member, thank you for that. If not, hey, why not? Come on, get on board. Give us a few bucks and join the party, as it were. We've got a great day of programming in store for you. All our normal morning programming coming up next, starting with Get Rich 101 with Sekou Writes. And later this afternoon, The Joy Show with Reverend B. Reverend Barbara is at 1 o'clock. I'll be back at 5 with the good news. Reverend Michael's here with the Fireside Chat at 6. And later this evening at 7 o'clock, part of our evening programming, we do a rebroadcast of the Sunday Unity Canada experience. So you can look for a rebroadcast of that later this evening at 7. Until next time, we want to wish you peace and richest blessings. Bye now.
And thanks for listening to this week's episode of Ministers Talking. We'll be back again next week with more commentary on current affairs, world events, and any other our ministers want to talk about. And if you found value here, please share our with your friends. Until next time, peace and blessings.